Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network. On thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody, it is Thursday night, February 15th, 2024. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. You can also find us just about anywhere you listen to your podcasts. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard DJ. I'm going to, at least partially tonight, wrap around the room and introduce this cast of characters. We are currently minus one, hoping for a run-in later. But from the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear, and the shoot bear got hot last week. The shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good to be back. And yeah, look, I went back and listened to us for our show from last week, and yeah, I made...
Let me tell you something, man. I listened to that, what's today, Thursday, we record on Thursday. I listened to it Monday on the way to work, and I got to the last 10 minutes of that show, I laughed almost nonstop. Just with ridiculousness. There was just so much. You guys got to go back and listen to that episode. We talked heavily about the WrestleMania 40 press conference, what we thought was going to happen, and then in the last 5 minutes, I triggered Rob. Rob went on... It was absolutely great podcasting, and I genuinely laughed out loud the whole segment, Rob. Jason announcing that I'm a terrible podcast host because I explained it on the last week's episode. Like I said, if you want to know the whole story, go back and listen to last week. It's only about an hour and 10 minutes. You can, you know, knock it out real quick. But we, being that it's Black History Month, we are trying to make mention of that every week during the month of February. And I had in my head, you know, we'd lost Carl Weathers 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to eulogize him just because I was a big fan of his growing up, and even, you know, as an adult, seeing his latest things. And I know Rob was a fan, Jason was a fan. So I had it in my head that I wanted to eulogize him, but the flow of the show last week was really awkward just because I literally got home 5 minutes before the press conference. We got on here, we just started recording, and then like in this awkward part, right at about the 20-minute mark or so, I just jump right into, okay, we're celebrating Black History Month, and we'd like to say goodbye and pay our respects to, and Rob got it. Like, Rob, I said my piece, Rob jumped right in. Jason was still on the task at hand, and that was talking about the press conference. So Jason, we're eulogizing Carl Weathers. And Jason just goes right back into fuck Kitty Rhodes and the story and, you know, all this stuff. And we're like, so there's like this awkward minute. So then later on in the show and towards the end, Jason calls me a bad podcast host because I didn't give the guys any warning. Like, I completely pivoted on a dime and talked about Carl Weathers. So just it really is a hilarious moment in time on this podcast.
Yeah. oh, man, it was.
So we are going to move forward from that this week. Like I said, go back and listen to it. In the moment, it seemed a little choppy, the episode did, because I called for commercial. We never went to commercial. There's a whole lot of calamity going on. But it really ended up being probably one of my favorite episodes that we've done recently. And as we truck further down the road, closer to 200, we're sitting here on the 181th, Jesus, I need another drink, 181st episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We are minus Jason for now. He may do a bit of a run-in. He's got some work duties. You know, he's kind of handling some personal business off to the side. So we're hoping he'll be in a little bit later. Rob and I are going to take over the show here. There's his lovely wife, Emily. Hello.
Hi, Emily.
That was her run-in. Jason has forbidden her from speaking on the podcast. He drew that line in the sand in the pre-show, which you can see on the YouTube. We are on YouTube. Look up the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I'm going to throw up the pre-show huddle because we had some great conversation on there prior to this show. I think you guys might want to – you might enjoy it. You might have a little bit of fun with it. But, you know, Rob and I are going to kick some things around here while Jason's doing his thing. Hopefully he can come in a little bit later. Not a whole lot of WWE stuff right now to talk about. We, you know, we're kind of in a holding pattern. We go to Perth in what, 8 days?
Yes.
Okay. So Elimination Chamber's in 8 days. I think that card is still putting itself together. They've still got another, you know, like I said, 7.5 days to finalize that thing before we get going. We're going to talk a little bit, something we wanted to get into last week, and just in the chaos of the episode, it just got lost in translation, and we just kind of ended the show. The release of Scott D'Amore from TNA came as a complete shock to me, a complete shock kind of to the wrestling, at least the online, the internet wrestling community, because Scott D'Amore was really making some headway with TNA. Like, TNA's always kind of been like the redheaded stepchild of the wrestling world, and we all joke about how they've survived, you know, for 20-plus years, you know, just in their own little bubble. Like, it's amazing how they survived, but in the last year or two, TNA has really been making some bold moves, some big moves, and Scott D'Amore deserves credit for a lot of that. You know, bringing in Naomi, formerly known as Trinity, was huge. A huge thing for them. Getting Mickey James back, putting, you know, the women again, we've said on this show, they may not have the largest roster of women, but their use of the women is probably the best in the wrestling industry currently. And that includes WWE, AEW. One could argue that NXT is doing a pretty fair job at competing with them, but, you know, having Mickey James in there, Jordynne Grace, they had Deonna Purrazzo for a while. That just, there was amazing work that TNA was doing. And again, Scott D'Amore was pivotal in all that. And, you know, we had this big moment with Jordynne Grace in the Royal Rumble. They just signed Nick Namath, you know, artist formerly known as Dolph Ziggler. Big, big things happening with TNA. And then Scott D'Amore's gone. And I'm sitting here looking at all this. Like I said on this show, I was really poised to really support TNA in what seemed like an effort for them to maybe become the number two professional wrestling promotion in North America. And now here we are, and I don't know what to do with that news. Rob, what are your thoughts on this?
Okay, so so when Scott took over for Don Callis, who now is, you know, he's a manager in AEW now and has been for a little while now. And so when he took over for Don Callis, they were at a low point because Don Callis was one of the people responsible for that awful Forbidden Door thing they did with AEW, where they buried their own world champion and, you know, and all of that. And then some people figured that Don Callis was basically trying to get himself a job in AEW because he's buddies with the EVPs and all of that stuff.
It's exactly what happened.
Right. And so Scott was left to pick up the pieces of that. And so it's been about two years where he's been just working to turn things around. And they finally had gotten to that space where it was like, okay, we have our nice little house on the corner of the street here. and we're going to keep our house up. We're not going to try to mess with, we're not chasing anybody else. We're not going to try to be anybody else. You know, we're going to do what we do right here, and we're going to do it to the best of our ability. And, you know, they were embracing all, you know, all the kind of goofy, quirky stuff that, you know, that we've come to know and love for, like, when people leave the company, they literally kill them off on TV sometimes. Yeah. Or they'll have
hi everybody, I'm back, by the way.
All right.
It's your favorite member of the podcast, Jason. With that, like, that little brother, like, we're gonna keep our house on the corner, you know, we're good. They even found the fine line of, like, poking fun at WWE or the Fed, if you want to call it that, but without really, like, poking the bear, and they're just more making fun of the whole wrestling as a whole. Yeah. They just found the perfect balance, because, you know, you guys know me. I don't go for the, you know, the war stuff or the, this guy sucks, and just the tit for tat on TV. But if you work it in there, you make it funny, you know, everybody's having a good time. Then, yeah. All right, fair play. And they did that the best for years and years.
Yeah, because, like, when I was a Taya Valkyrie, when she left, you know, she got convicted for murder of somebody on the show. and then they had, like, a little joke. It was like, are you going to the prison in Jacksonville or one in Stanford?
Right.
You know, and so, you know, the prison in Jacksonville, they eat up in the prison in Stanford is the WWE. So, I mean, you know, so they would do stuff like that, right? And again, harmless, fun stuff that you could laugh at and nobody got it. So they had carved out their space. And this is, and what was a really important thing was they had finally embraced, it looked like under Scott, the fact that, okay, when we get some big name person here, they're going to be here for 6 months or a year. And then if they can get back into WWE or if they can get to WWE for the first time, they're going to leave. So we're just, you know what, if we got them for 6 months, we're going to get the best 6 months out of them that we can get, or the best year. You know, we're going to, for as long as we have them, we're going to max out what they can do here. And then when they leave, we'll give them a nice send off, no hard feelings. We know what the deal is. And so, several people who had been released from WWE had, you know, basically went there for a while. Chelsea Green came back for a while. Mia Yim was there for a while. Trinity most recently. The formerly the Iconics were there for a while before they went back home. Bronson Reed was there for a while. You know, he was going under his old name, Jonah. So, and they had, under Scott DeMore's, you know, running the company, they had fully embraced that, where it's like, okay, we know that, look, there are some people who are TNA lifers who just, and that's where they want to be, that's where they want to stay. But there are also people who it's a great place to go in between, you know, stints at a bigger company. And under Scott DeMore, they had really embraced that, and they'd really made the most of it. Like, okay, we got you for 6 months. Great. We're going to get, you know, we're going to, this 6 months are going to be fucking awesome while you're here. And yeah,
they've embraced being a feeder system.
Yeah.
And with the understanding that it's okay to do that.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, basically it's a kind of a way station for veterans in between signed by AEW or WWE. Right. And they had embraced that under Scott, and it was working really great. You know,
and like, you know, mercenaries finding a, you know, beautiful way station along the bloody trail. Some guys might just stay for a little while longer than 6 months, a year. It'll happen eventually. Like Ziggler, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if he stuck around for the long haul.
Yeah, because I think he was just kind of done with the WWE grind, period.
Yeah. Well, I read an interview with Ziggler, and he was like, look, he's like, you know, I'm not a sit-at-home guy. He's like, you know, I'm still in good shape. Yeah, I'm in my 40s, but I'm still in good shape. I can still go. I've still got stuff to do, and I'm sitting at home. He's like, I'm not a sit at home and just kind of have drinks kind of guy. If I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. And he's like, I finally just looked at him and said, look, if you guys got nothing for me, let me go. Let me go do something else. And they agreed. He's like, he has no hard feelings. He just realized that they had nothing for him, and he's wanted to go do something else.
Right.
He wasn't going to stick around and wait for the next plug and play moment, you know, right, where they needed him, which credit to him.
I think
every time they call him, he answers that bell.
Well, and I think we all said on this podcast, the moment he was released, TNA was the place for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all said that here, and here we are. And that's, he's a great person to prop up as one, the locker room leader. And two, even if he's not the face of the company, if they're looking at that next young star, he's the guy that can guide that locker room. And he's even said publicly, he's like, there's some great talent over there. And there is. You know, TNA's always been, you know, a hotbed for really good professional wrestlers. You can look down, we could go down the list for a half an hour of the great wrestlers who spent time in TNA, and some of them who honed their craft there. You know, Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, just to name a few. I mean,
look at what Ziggler did with, and I was just about to say, let's not be marks, it's Nick Namath now.
Yeah.
But in this case, it was Ziggler. Look what Dolph Ziggler did for Braun Breaker. Like, don't you look at that as and just go, yeah, that's a veteran I want.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
That's a guy you want leading your locker room and a guy you want with at least a hand on the wheel for your ship.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so it's and Scott D'Amore is you know, his leadership is how they got to that place where they've been able to manage these people, you know, people who coming and going. And just everything's gotten better. And in the past couple of months, like the most recent pay-per-view was Hard to Kill, and they had their biggest house in years and their best crowd in years.
Is that the one in Vegas that they had to sell more seats for?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So for him to get...
They're clearly on the upswing. And
yeah,
Scott was the one driving the car.
Yes.
And now today we have the town. Did you guys already talk about this? The letter from
not
the town?
Yet, oh, not yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
So I guess I'll bring that up. The talent wrote an open letter to Anthem, basically saying like, "Hey, dude, he's the heart and soul of TNA, and you fucked up. Can we?" They obviously said it in much nicer way, and they really did. The end of the closing letter was awesome about like, you know, starting a dialogue and all that good stuff. It was very well written. So whoever actually wrote that thing for those people, kudos. Good job. It was awesome. Anyway, this is not just going to be a thing that like blows over like, oh yeah, Scott left or Scott got fired. It sucks, blah, blah, blah. And then apparently I don't know if you guys already mentioned the suspect timing of what people were told and what people was actually happened.
No, we didn't get into any of that. Yeah, the talent was told one thing.
Yeah, talent was told that he stepped down, and then all of a sudden the press release comes out and the news comes out and he was terminated. So then the talent was just like, wait a second. So yeah, it stinks to high heaven. And Scott, you know, as I think I heard you guys saying, like he had those guys poised to be the Pepsi to AEW's Coke.
Yeah.
You know, at the very least, if he wasn't going to take down Jacksonville, I could guarantee that he was going to get a better – if they kept on that trajectory, they were going to get on off of Access and onto something. Maybe it was True TV, but which might be the same tier as Access, but I still don't think so because I watch college basketball games on True TV. I've never watched a college basketball game on Access TV. So there you go.
Yeah. And so now it's been a little over a week. And there have not been any reports that suggest that he was, you know, was anything untoward going on, you know,
because
look, nowadays, look, if a wrestling executive gets run out of town, you know,
we're already looking, is there a situation like we're already looking at it side eyed?
Yeah.
When they run out of town and it's not immediately clear why, we have to ask some questions.
Yeah, because look, I mean, I mentioned Don Callis earlier. Don Callis had a sexual harassment rap over him when he was in charge over there.
Yep.
So, and of course, we got all this business with Vince. And we don't need to go back into that. But there have not been.
Except I will say, it seems that both Mr. McMahon and Don Callis, the TV character, I think we knew this, but we're getting confirmation that they are much closer to the real person than we thought.
Yeah. and so, but there have been, knock on wood, there have been no reports about Scott. So until, you know, we're not going to We're not going to stay up all night waiting and wondering.
No.
So for the time,
I just want to talk about
If at this point it hasn't come out that that's why he was fired, it probably was not that. So we can all move on.
Yeah. So now the only thing that's out there basically is he wanted them to spend some more money, and sounded like they don't want to, and he reportedly, because his family is like they do construction stuff, and so he had the wherewithal to come up with to get some financial backing to come up with an offer, and he made them an offer to just buy the place because he figured, you know, hey, if you guys aren't going to actually try to do something here,
let's be clear and use our words about this. He made them made Anthem an offer to buy TNA.
So basically, because hey, if you guys aren't going to really try with this thing,
he wasn't asking like for a slice of the pie.
No.
He wasn't asking to be part of the thing. He was going to give the, and by all reports, it was an honest, fair offer.
Right.
To buy the company.
Right. He didn't go in there. He didn't offer like $10 and a ham sandwich or something. He offered, you know.
He made a real, good offer, which is insane to me that both, so what are you getting out of it?
Well,
if you don't want to put the money into it to let it get to the next step, because you're already at the next step, TNA as it is now, this iteration of TNA is the next step of where we've seen Impact going. But you don't want to go any further than that. Okay, then why don't you cash out now? Because it's not going to get any more valuable if you guys stop putting money into it.
Yeah.
So either cash out now or put your money where your mouth is. Put some more money into this thing and keep this growth going. So I just want to know, what's the holdup?
Where are we? My only guess is that they're looking at the way Sinclair Broadcasting looked at Ring of Honor. Basically, it's cheap programming and
guaranteed income, cheap.
That's it. I think that's the only way it looks right now, and because Anthem owns Access TV, so you can put this show on there. You don't have to pay them a rights fee because you already own them. And it's a way to fill some hours on your C-level cable channel, as long as it exists, there'll be at least a few people who watch it. And, you know,
it's just frustrating because I think I said maybe 2-3 weeks on this show that I really felt like they were poised to make some major moves. And a lot of people scoffed at me.
You've been saying that for like a year plus.
You've
been quietly beating that drum, and you've been right, by the way.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of people in our chair shot chat and a lot of people online that scoffed at me when I said that they were really in a position to overtake AEW as the number two wrestling program or promotion in North America. And a lot of people laughed at me. And, you know, I understand why, because the biggest thing that TNA/Impact was missing was a major TV deal. And, you know, as we've said, it's very hard to find them on Access in like the thousands. And I say that as a comparison. I've recently started watching Women of Wrestling Superheroes. And that is literally, it's on Samsung TV. It's a free channel. And it is literally like, I think the channel number is 1,359. I literally found this on accident. I happened to be strumming through, and actually they've got an Impact channel on there as well that plays archived Impact stuff. I haven't dug into it yet, but the world of wrestling is pretty current. So I've been watching that, but it is hard to find. But I really felt like as an overall production with the talent, with the shows they were putting on, TNA was putting on a better program than AEW. You know, yeah, AEW's got some former WWE guys that were big names, and they had a bigger feel because of the TV deal. But from an overall standpoint, I really felt like TNA was putting on a better product. And I was fully ready as of 3 weeks ago to embrace this and do my, like, I'm talking, I'm looking at, you know, buying T-shirt. They run in Kissimmee, which is 45 minutes away from me about once a month. You know, it's nothing for me to hop over there, spend $30 on a ticket and watch a good wrestling show. So I was all on board for, hey, let's let this rock. And then they just pulled the rug out from under us. And it just frustrates me because it really seemed like Scott was legitimately trying to bring TNA back to that time when TNA as a fledgling promotion really thought they were competition. And for a while they were. They were putting up respectable ratings numbers. They were putting out awesome TV content.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately the Hogan era came in and it completely sank the whole thing. But there was a time when TNA was legitimately putting forth effort to compete, and then they just settled into this, okay, like Rob said, this is our house. We're going to keep up our yard. We're going to keep everything like it is, and we're happy doing that. And Scott D'Amore seems like he wanted more, and I wanted more for them. And it's very, very frustrating right now.
Yeah, because they had gotten to that point where, okay, like you said, if we're going to keep moving up, we got to spend some money.
Yeah.
Right. And apparently they didn't want to, because they needed, because Scott tried to land CM Punk last year.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and, I mean, and from what I've heard, he made a legit offer. They didn't offer Punk a ham sandwich.
Right.
But I think, you know, but obviously, look, if Scott's on line one and Hunter's on line two, you know, and you're seeing Punk,
you're taking the call from Hunter.
Yeah, right. But they got to the point where, because they put some more money in their TV production, and because the shows more recently look a lot better, because that was the one knock on them even into last year, was that it still looked low rent.
Yeah. Now yeah, their TV production was not great.
Yeah, and now it looks, the past couple of months, it's gotten better looking on TV.
Dude, they that's were, where they got new cameras or something.
Yeah, and so
like, it's just a sharper. It doesn't have like the smoke filled like look. Yeah, that's the studio, but I mean, and everything's sharper. The lines are like straighter. It's brighter. It looks modern.
Thank or at least in, they've at least upgraded to 1080p.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, exactly.
So they were. I mean, they
720
were
all, for a while. They were hurting.
Yeah. they were all set, and but it looks like Anthem just doesn't want. They don't want to spend more than a certain amount of money, and they're content to get. You know, they're content to have this thing on 2 hours. You know, on Thursdays and whatever the time they give it, and they're content with, you know, with whatever audience they get. They're content with that. And they it sucks. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I'm hoping that through this mess that they find a way to stay on course. Because it can be a great place to work. And look, I mean, Jordan, you know, we talk about what Jordan Grace did in the Royal Rumble. If Jordan Grace hadn't been working, if Jordan Grace had been just out there working on the indies instead of in TNA, she wouldn't have been in that Royal Rumble.
When you listen to her tell her story, Scott, I don't know who called. Obviously, WWE called Scott, and then Scott called her. And her side of the story was, you know, Scott called me and said, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And she's like, I don't know, nothing. He's like, well, you want to wrestle? And she's like, sure. And in her head, she's thinking, you know, where is he going to send me this week? And, you know, he's like, all right, so they want you in the Rumble. And she's like, wait, say that again. He's like, they want you in the Rumble. And, you know, he brokered that deal. Yeah. You know, it's I don't think, like I said, we had Mickie James 2 years ago. I don't know who was in charge of brokering that deal. She may have just done it herself. But, yeah, it just, God.
Well, and that's the other thing I left out. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, because. Well, the other thing is that he had forged a nice little working relationship with WWE, because they had, AJ Styles did a tribute video at their anniversary show a couple of years ago, and they had a nice little thing going. Like you said, Mickie James was there, and they'd been sharing footage of people like, you know, who had been there before. Like, I think, you know, I forgot who they were, but guys who had been there before recently, they had shared footage of them, and they had a nice little relationship going with WWE under Scott.
Right. What's going to be interesting to see is obviously the talent has, you know, had a team draft this letter to, you know, Anthem. And Like, do I expect them to rehire Scott DeMori and pivot and go back to him? No, I don't. I think they're done, and, you know, it is what it is. I do like that the talent reached out. What's going to be interesting is when the rubber meets the road with this talent, and they decide that, because that's when you've got a boss that is seemingly loved, and then suddenly they're gone, that reflects on the talent. And that's the management telling the talent, we don't give a shit about you. You know, we know you liked this guy. This guy was doing great things, and this guy was, like, locker room morale was better, and, you know, everybody felt better about the product because we're doing better, and we're gaining ground, we're making strides, we're making money, and then suddenly that person's gone. The talent has to take that personally to a degree. You know, I understand in this business somebody could be gone tomorrow, and that's just part of the business you deal with. We go through this every time WWE goes through a round of releases. It sucks. Everybody cries on each other's shoulder, and then it's back to work on Monday and Friday. But in this particular situation, TNA is, again, like I said, the feeder company. And probably there's only a few people making really, really good money in TNA. If this talent is pissed off enough, there are two other awesome promotions in North America that they can go and they can get paid. And when your talent starts jumping ship, what do you do? I mean, are you Anthem and you say, yeah, you know what, we'll find somebody else? Or do you start looking at this going, well, maybe we should, you know, walk it back a little bit?
Yeah, and so we'll see, you know, once contracts start coming up, that'll be the real moment of truth. Like when Jordynne Grace's contract is up. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and say she's probably gone now.
When her
contract is up, I think you know, it's a pretty safe bet she's out of there.
Yeah.
Whereas she might have stuck around if Scott still there.
Jordynne Grace, get ready to learn, you know, Def Rebel, baby.
She
had a great theme song in NXT.
Oh yeah. But we'll see in some of these other folks when these contracts come up, like you know, somebody like Josh Alexander now. I think he was more than likely a TNA lifer, but now, I mean, cause he's almost 40, I think. But now, when his contract is up, you know what? He might be thinking, well, I got 3 or 4 years. If Hunter calls me, I'm going.
Yeah. Well, shit. Yeah. Even if Tony calls him,
Tony calls you, man. At that point, take the money.
Take the money. Go to Jacksonville, bro.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, if they both call, yeah, and the offers are similar, go with Hunter, obviously. And the offer, even if the offers aren't similar, go to Hunter.
Yeah, but so now somebody like him, though, will now he'd be more inclined to leave when his contract is up.
He'd think about it at least.
Yeah, at least. He would at least think about it. And there are other people there, and we don't want to run through the whole roster. But now, basically, people who would have stayed there because they liked working for Scott and they were making enough, you know, now those people are, you know, when those contracts are up, now they're going to be thinking differently now. And it's a shame because it's good to have good wrestling in more than one place.
Okay? It is. We, as much crap as we talk about AEW as a concept is healthy for wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, TNA is healthy for wrestling. The more options we have for people to go and work and get paid, the healthier the business is.
And just as a fan, like, because, like, we don't all want to watch the exact same stuff.
Right.
You know, and it's good to have variety of product. It's good. And, you know, and. Because look, they're not going to kill people off on WWE television. They're not going to send them to the alternate dimensions or something, right? But I mean, you know, having TNA do that type of stuff is a fun little thing to see, right? Yeah. And just for an example, right? I mean, so, it's good to have a variety of product, and you can't get so much variety under the same roof. And so, hopefully, you know, I hope this works out some kind of way. It sucks. And somebody needs to hire, unless there's some dirt out there to be uncovered, somebody needs to hire Scott.
Oh, I'd imagine somebody's already contacted that dude.
I mean, Impact gave us broken Matt Hardy. Like, and say what we will about the dude now and woken Matt Hardy and all that stuff. But that initial run of broken Matt Hardy was brilliant.
It rejuvenated Matt Hardy's career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't, you know, brilliant. We can't thank Scott and for they, that. So, I don't think Scott DeMore had anything to do with that. But still, Impact as a brand.
Exactly. That's the brand that they had. They were, this silly is okay, you know?
Yeah. And
they were arguably more sports entertainment than WWE at times.
Yeah, absolute fact.
Yeah. And so, good.
No, I was just going to say, like I said, the alternatives are important. And like I just told you guys maybe 5-10 minutes ago, I've been watching WOW, Women of Wrestling. And it is what it is. It's a fun little show. A lot of these girls, some of these girls are really good wrestlers. Some of them will probably never get picked up anywhere significantly. But the show in and of itself is fun. Like, it's a nice, fun little hour of some really good, away from WWE, outside of that bubble, wrestling. And maybe you're catching somebody who you'll see in 2 to 4 years in AEW or on WWE.
It's in syndication here. I've caught a couple episodes. And you'll either find... There could be some freaking awesome wrestling... And at worst, it'll be inoffensive, and yeah, they're just young girls.
I just watched an awesome match recently with, and I hate to bring her up because of the association, but Tessa Blanchard, Santana Garrett, and I forget who the third woman was in the match. They had one hell of a wrestling match in the main event. And, you know, I'm watching this, and it kind of frustrates me because, you know, I've seen Santana Garrett at indie shows, and when she went to NXT, I was very hyped for her future, and she just never really took off. And I'm watching her on this show. I'm like, where was that Santana Garrett in NXT? Because that Santana Garrett was out there wrestling one hell of a good match. She was very aggressive, and I never saw that in NXT.
Didn't she have an injury in the middle of her NXT run, though?
I think she may have injured herself. I know she wasn't on TV a whole lot. Like, I think the closest she came...
she got sidelined for a while, too. So her whole run was just kind of weird.
Well, then they brought her back about a year or so ago as a trainer. And then I guess just kind of quietly released her because, you know, I follow her on the social medias. And, you know, she's pretty much a gun for hire back on the indie scene. You know, she has other side hustles. Like, she's a model. I think she's doing some acting and stuff like that. So she's not starving to death.
Is she maybe only part-time at the PC and she still kind of does that?
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. But at any rate, you know, the alternatives being out there are good. They're fun. But yeah, this situation with Scott D'Amore, maybe they'll pivot. Maybe they'll walk it back. Maybe they'll look at it. I don't expect them to. I expect him to show up either in WWE or AEW probably in the very near future.
Oh, I mean, yeah, if he's on the market and still wants to work, yep.
Somebody. Why wouldn't he? Obviously, the guy's got some mileage in him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He clearly, and if he made the offer to buy, you know, TNA, then he's in it for the long haul. So why not use that genius at my, you know, place of employment?
Yeah, and look, if Hunter ever, you know, calls Sean up there to help him out full-time on the main roster, Scott would be a great guy to have running NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, or doing something there, you know.
But
you got to think at some point, and I know we're pivoting here a little bit, that Hunter's getting the call to go up and work, you know, help or Sean's getting the call from Hunter to go and work the main roster stuff.
At some point, yeah.
Well, now that he's shown that, I mean, obviously, I don't think there was much doubt, but he's shown that he can do it with NXT. So it's like, all right, you know, okay. Well, now, but okay, I want my best friend and my, you know, one of wrestling legend up here with me, helping book these shows and helping figure this out. Ah, shoot. But who do I get to take care of my baby?
Well, we've also got,
now there's a name on the market.
We've still got William Regal. I think William Regal's still working down, doing some stuff.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
NXT is going to be fine, you know. If Sean, you know, goes up to the big leagues and helps Hunter, NXT is going to be perfectly fine. At some point, I think we've all speculated that CM Punk may end up back down in there working with the younger kids. He seems to love those guys. He's gone down there and visited on several occasions, and he said when he, you know, went back to AEW, part of what he wants his legacy to be is rearing this next generation. And part of what frustrated him was the younger kids in AEW not listening to the veterans. And in NXT, that's exactly what that is designed for. Well, if you guys want to get to the next level, you're going to shut your mouths and listen to the trainers. You're going to listen to the people that are trying to help you along. And if you don't want to do that, well, then there's the door.
Oh, I mean, you mean you don't go around yelling real glass on camera?
Yeah, dumbass.
You know what I mean?
Dumbass. You know, I mean. Yeah, don't be that guy. All right, so I think it's gonna
fucking
do it for.
Hey, fucking children, am I right?
Yeah.
I'm yeah, sure. Right. I'm old. I'm tired. And I work with fucking children.
Oh, man.
All right, I tell you what, why don't we take a commercial break? And when we come back, we're going to talk movie trailers. We had a big movie trailer drop this week, and this one's a little personal for reasons. We'll get into on the backside of the commercial break. But before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, go ahead and browse, peruse, look at all the t-shirts from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Check those out. Pick one up. The starting artist on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We are going to go to commercial break real quick. When we come back, we are talking Godzilla and Kong after the commercial break. All right, so we'll take a little pause here. Right. You know, we'll come back from break. We can talk the trailer. And Rob, did you come up with anybody for Black History Month?
Because I was trying to think of people who we don't normally talk about a lot, right? But then,
right?
Shoot. I mean, but then the only problem is the names I'm thinking of people are probably too obscure for our audience. So, like, I don't think anybody listens to us now cares about Pistol Pez Watley, or, you know, I mean,
probably not. Jason's sitting there like,
right? I mean, so we can talk about R-Truth. Why not? Hell,
I mean, you know what? Let's do that.
Fuck it, because he's in the middle of a fucking renaissance again for the third or fifth time since I've been.
R-Truth is on his 10th renaissance.
And.
Like, even since I've been watching this, like, I can still do this. Oh, yeah. By the way, I can still do this.
And, look, he is a former NWA World Champion. So, like, he is, right. He actually has some bona fides as a serious pro wrestler, right?
Well, he was a big name over in, but since we're talking TNA, he was a big deal over in TNA, too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That's where Ron the Truth Killings became a thing.
Yeah, that's when they were still affiliated with NWA. That's when he won the NWA World Title.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also, isn't it the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion? Isn't that the official name of the belt?
I think so.
Okay. Because I'm a stickler for like title names, and that one I love that title name because it's just like.
Yes,
it's so classic and like old school.
NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Yes, because
So, do we want to do the R-Truth thing and then go into the trailer, or we want to do the trailer and then R-Truth? What do we want to do?
Let's get the trailer thing out of the way.
Trailer thing out of the way. Okay, yeah, and then we'll go into R-Truth, and then we'll wrap it up after R-Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me like 2 minutes. No, actually, just go. I'm gonna mute myself for a minute because the dog's going outside.
All right, that's fine.
Okay. And oh, did you hear about Shotzi?
Yeah, she injured her knee on NXT.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Shotzi's injured.
Yeah.
How injured?
Pretty injured. Apparently, it's a pretty bad injury.
Oh, come on, no.
Yeah, I'm bummed about that one. I love Shotzi, and this one sucks. This one sucks.
Because she just, you know, she just did the head shake, like, and her sister.
Yeah. It stinks.
She injured her knee, apparently.
I'm really rooting for her because it sounds like the last two years for her personally have been rather rough. Losing her dad and her, I think, her stepdad and then her sister's got to, like, just, I'm really rooting for her, and to hear that she got injured just stinks. All right, Jason, go do your thing. We're going to come back for sure. Okay. And we are back again. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, again on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head. We're going to swerve out of the wrestling lane into the bandwagon nerds lane and talk a little bit of movie trailer here. And there's a little bit of history with this trailer personally to us. What's the official title to this, Rob? Is it Godzilla X Kong or Kong X Godzilla?
It's
Godzilla X Kong. I don't know if it's, I don't know if you actually say the X, but it's Godzilla Kong, A New Empire.
Okay, so it's very important that I know whose name is first in this. Is it Godzilla or Kong?
Oh, let me look over here.
Because
it's Godzilla. It's Godzilla.
It has to be Godzilla. That's important.
Yeah.
Because Godzilla whooped that ass in the last movie.
Yes, he did.
And we need to make that very clear. We need to point that out. It's very, very important because we have a very close friend of ours who seems to not understand that Kong is the villain. And we're not going to get too deep on that because I want Jay on here to defend himself. But yeah, it's always Kong and second, or Godzilla, second billing Kong.
Yes. Okay. It's Godzilla, Kong, the new empire.
It's Godzilla X second banana Kong.
Yes.
The new empire.
Yes.
That's right.
I mean, guys, that trailer looks fucking awesome.
Yes, it does.
My God.
Like this, that's why we go to the movies right there. That's why IMAX was invented. That's why we have 10 billion decibel THX theaters that makes me make my seat vibrate when the Batmobile takes off. That's why we have theaters like that, because that's cinema, my friends, right there.
Yes. And look, this has been a great time for fans of Godzilla and King Kong, because particularly Godzilla, because look, last year we had, you know, we had the Godzilla Minus One. So if you know, if you want your like super serious, you know, heavyweight, what does it all mean kind of Godzilla movies, that was like the best one of that version that I think they've ever made.
I haven't seen that one yet. I'm waiting for streaming just because the 15 times that they extended its run in the theater.
Yeah. And so now this Godzilla Kong New Empire is at the opposite end of the spectrum. It's you know, video game-esque, you know, Fast and Furious type of thing with monsters, right?
Now, let's just set the stage. In Godzilla versus Kong, Godzilla at one point uses his radiation breath to drill a hole to the center of the earth and go down and fight some bitches down there.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of movie we're talking about.
And he uses breath to illuminate, to basically light up this special battle axe that Kong used to chop up Mechagodzilla. Okay, that was Godzilla.
A special battle axe made of the fins of his ancestors, apparently.
Yeah, something. Yes, I mean so.
Hey, it looked like a fin, like the dorsal fin from a Godzilla esque creature.
Yeah, it's exactly what it was. It was a Godzilla dorsal fin. And he charged it up with super breath and like a fucking super move in Super Smash Brothers or like Tekken Tag or the Marvel vs. Capcom.
It's like I'm watching Voltron awesome. And Kong's out there like form blazing axe and he's gonna chop shit up. It was great.
Yeah, so that's what we're getting here with this. And so
and in this trailer, it looks like they just leaned all the way in on the nonsense because now we're just getting monsters versus monsters and we got team up, like Godzilla and Kong are legit teaming up. Kong's got some sort of infinity gauntlet, like, you know, power fist, and Godzilla's fins and everything, his radiation are all pink now. So I guess he got supercharged or something. It's Rob, you put it perfectly. It's like a video game.
Yeah, it's and like that's the way to go. Look, if you're going to do super serious, then you need to do it like Godzilla minus one.
Yep.
But and either do that and do it well, or just go the other way like they're doing with the Godzilla Kong. Yep. Don't try to split the difference. Yeah.
No, lean all the way into exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, because either it's video game monster fighting, or it's a metaphor for nuclear proliferation.
Well,
it's
one or the other. As this is like a culmination of a lot of movies. That's also what Kong, like Skull Island, was. It was more of that classic, like monster movie, what does it all mean kind of deal, and with a lot more fighting. But it was, they were building to this almost.
So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this, and so yeah, I mean this has been a great few months here for this genre, for these characters and this type of movie. So yeah, I'm all ready for this thing to happen. And look, I'm going to go see it in what they call it now, the Theater X or whatever, the thing where now where they have like the screens on the side of the walls and everything.
Yeah, Tunney was talking about that one time on the Bandwagon Nerds. It was some special screen. It's not quite 360-degree immersive, but it's pretty damn close.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Yeah,
him and Ray are big on it.
Yeah, I've gone to see a couple things there.
I don't even think we have one nearby that we can do that.
We have one in Boston. I still haven't done one yet, though. It's I feel like I get overwhelmed because I have a weird vision of like, and I don't enjoy 3D movies. They don't work correctly for me. I just get headaches from the glasses. So I imagine like I'd just get overwhelmed at that point.
Possibly.
But if there's any movie to go and try it at, it's, you know, either that or it's, for me it would be either that or Top Gun Maverick or Star Wars, obviously.
But, so that's coming out what, March 29th?
Yeah.
March 29th, yeah. That releases. I'm gonna try like hell to go see that opening weekend because we do want to get our friend Jay up here soon after that.
Yeah.
So that we can one, talk about the movie, and two, I'm going to promote a fight here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
And, dude,
the Godzilla versus Kong.
We can talk about how awesome it was when in Godzilla X Kong, the new Empire, when King Kong was getting his ass whooped at the very, very end of the movie, just getting beaten down into the dirt. But who was there for the hot tag to save the day?
That's
but
right.
Godzilla.
That's right.
So we're going to break that down with Jay. We're going to have a big fight here on it. It's going to be Godzilla versus Kong Part 2 on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, probably sometime in April. Look forward to that one. We got a little bit of time on that. But yeah, Godzilla X Kong, the new kingdom, is going to be just off the hook, man. It's everything that I go to the movies for.
And Jay, remember, as a good friend of mine once said, it's not a prediction. It's a spoiler.
Right.
Oh, he's punching at air right now. I know it.
All
right. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, we got they announced that Fantastic Four casting.
Yeah.
Other than Pedro Pascal, I don't know any of these people. Like,
they're all going to be great.
I'm going to go watch it just because it's superheroes and it's Pedro Pascal. So count me in, you know, whatever. And it's Marvel. And, you know, I just finished, I finished the Marvels the night before last. I had to break it up because I just got busy. You know what? I enjoyed it. I know the Marvels took a browbeating online. It took a browbeating on all the fan sites. And I've heard every single awful review and read every single 3,000 word think piece on how Marvel is in the shitter because of how awful the Marvels was. I enjoyed it. You know, I thought it was fun. I genuinely laughed out loud in a lot of spots. I think this girl that plays Miss Marvel, what's her name? Iman Vellani.
Oh, she's wonderful.
Absolutely charming.
Yeah.
Absolutely charming in this movie. So I'm here for whatever Marvel's doing and the Fantastic Four. Yeah, sign me up, man.
Yeah, her parents stole the show in spots.
They did.
And then it was really cool to see Brie Larson finally like get to stretch her muscles, like, and like have some levity, and like, because even in the Avengers movies and stuff, she had some funny moments. She had some funny moments in her own movies, but she's been pretty straight laced, and it was cool to see her get to play that side of the character.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
that was our mini Marvels review.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Go see it.
Yes.
It's on streaming now on Disney Plus.
Yeah, and on they announced the about a month from now they're starting up the X-Men animated thing again.
X-Men, yeah, I saw the trailer for that one. That one looked really fun. I've actually just started watching the original series for about a month or so. I think I'm about halfway through the first season. And knowing
you are old. You didn't watch that shit.
Shut your fucking mouth. I watched it back then, too.
This guy.
Did you? Okay. All right. I was going to say, I was like, that's I'm kind of offended that X-Men 97, I believe they're calling it, on Disney Plus isn't going to be released every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock.
Look here, Jason. Some of us old guys know who the hell Chris Claremont is.
That's right.
That's true.
Now that's going to be a lot of fun, and I like that they got at least some of the original voice actors back for the roles. I think Magneto's different, and I don't know if the same guy is doing Wolverine.
It didn't sound well. It's been 30 years. So.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see, because this is the coolest Scott Summers that anyone's ever going to see, because my generation has a completely different relationship with Scott Summers, because Scott Summers is an asshole. Scott Summers is not a cool dude in the comics.
He wasn't a cool dude in my comics either. He was kind of a dork.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big dork, and then he's, you know, he's almost a dictator in the last 10 years, so.
Yeah. As a kid, I rooted for Wolverine to land Jean Grey.
I'm like, this is when a whole generation's going to get to see the Scott Summers we grew up with, which is Scott Summers. Yeah, he follows the rules, but he's fucking awesome, man.
I got to say, Marvel fans have been fed this week since the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually just nerd fandom in general. But yeah, we got the Deadpool trailer, which is now what, the most watched trailer like ever.
Yeah.
Did I read that like 500 million views or some shit like that?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yes.
So it's going to be fun. Deadpool 3 is going to be just, I'm not even going to speculate as to where they're going with it. I want to see some more trailers. They're saying that it may set up a whole lot of things, potentially Secret Wars. But before we get out of here, we are still celebrating Black History Month here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I'm going to turn this over to Rob, who is going to take over and give us our celebrity this week.
All right. So I have been looking for names that don't always get talked about, and, you know, to, you know, maybe just shine some light on some people. And unfortunately, I couldn't think of anybody who y'all would probably care about. because I thought of Pistol Pez Whatley, who was a guy who wrestled for Jim Crockett back in the 80s. And I remember Pistol Pez Whatley.
Pistol Pez Whatley.
But I'm guessing that a lot of you guys who are listening to this show.
2/3 of this wrestling podcast knew who he was.
Right.
The other white guy in the room had no clue.
Yeah.
Rob, yeah. Tell me about Pistol Pete Whatley.
Pistol Pez Whatley.
Okay. Tell me about Pez. Him.
Okay, well, he was a mid-card guy. Well, fuck it. We'll talk about Pistol Pez Whiteley then. All right. Because I've worked myself into a shoot now, right? Okay.
2 weeks right. in a row, we got him shooting.
All right, so he was a mid-card guy for Jim Crockett in the 80s. And, you know, he'd been in some tag teams. His biggest feud, I remember, he at one time he was a tag team partner and he was an ally of Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant. And he, Jimmy Valiant was feuding with Paul Jones. And Jimmy Valiant and Paul Jones feuded for like 2 or 3 years over cutting each other's hair. And so Pistol Pez Whiteley turned on Jimmy Valiant, joined with Paul Jones. And for like 6 months during 1986, they were feuding over hair. And so it was funny because, I mean, this was just, it was just very absurd. Because at one point, Pistol Pez Whiteley, who changed his name to Shaska Whiteley, he called Jimmy Valiant and Uncle Tom, which, I mean, it's just.
God.
Okay, and look, I'll handle this, guys. Okay, you guys just let me talk about this, okay?
Sir, it's all yours.
Okay, but it is yours, the idea friend. Of you know Pistol Pez Whiteley calling Jimmy Valiant and Uncle Tom was just you know I mean you couldn't help but laugh at the whole premise, right? So but they feuded for like 6 months and they both cut each other's hair. They both and by the way, back in 1986 when you lost a hair versus hair match. They didn't cut a few strands of hair off of your head. You got shaved, brother. Okay. Okay. They shaved your head and you had to walk around for like a few months selling the fact that you'd got your head shaven. Okay. So it ain't like it is now. They cut a few pieces off and then, you know, 2 weeks later, you wouldn't know. But it was a really fun feud back in 1986 and he was a big part of that. And now I'll go to Wikipedia and look up some other things about him because
why was he Pistol Pez? Was he did a cowboy gimmick or
we're gonna find
no,
out.
No, he really this I remember him, he really didn't have a very flamboyant gimmick. He was just a wrestler in trunks.
Yeah, and
one thing he did have, and I think where the pistol came in was that you know, when somebody's really they get fired up easily and they call him a pistol.
Yeah.
I think that was the reference because one thing he really did do was get fired up. Like if he got the hot tag or if it was time for him to take over the match, Pistol Pez Whiteley used to get fired up. And I remember the whole house as a kid just, yeah, let's go. And inevitably, unfortunately, he would lose. But
yeah.
But still, I think that's where the pistol name came from.
All right, so here we go.
That's probably why I made that mistake, because the only pistol I know is Pistol Pete Maravich.
So. And probably real quick, before Rob continues, we have a run-in.
Oh, no. Boom.
Yeah,
no.
Guys.
Oh, no. Oh, wait a minute. Well, you brought him here during Black History Month? Losing. Really? This guy? Really?
Guys, I got to go. I can't hear.
Oh, good grief.
From the DWI podcast, right in the middle, like literally in the middle, halfway through Black History Month.
Why would you do that to me?
Wow. Hey, you know, right in the middle. Hey, for our surprise guest during our Black History Month segment, you know who we should call? I know who we should call.
PC fucking Tony.
Let me just say this. Jason, it's great to see you. DJ, fuck you. And Rob, continue. I'm sorry, sir.
I got to mute. I may have to go pee.
Okay. So, Pistol Pez Whiteley. Let me finish reading the Wikipedia thing here. All right.
Do you hold any titles?
All right. It says he started in 1973 after a brief career as a powerlifter.
Okay.
All right. He was one of the most popular wrestlers in Georgia before going to Florida Championship Wrestling. He won the Southern title twice there in Florida Championship Wrestling. And then they skip ahead to the stuff I just finished talking about. So And in the early 90s, he went hit a short stint in Japan's UFWI. That's crazy, because that's that quasi shoot thing that they had going on in Japan over there.
Yeah.
You know, and he worked for WWF as an enhancement talent from January 1990 through 1991. He was inducted into WWE Hall of Fame in 2021 as a legacy member.
Really? I did not know that.
So,
interesting.
Yeah. And he held some titles, like smaller titles. He was NWA Southern Heavyweight Champion. That's in Florida. He was NWA Mid-America Tag Team Champion 2 times.
See, we had Florida Championship Wrestling that used to come on TV here in syndication, so we got a lot of Pistol Pez Watley. Because they used to, I think it's the Eddie Graham Sports Stadium or Sportsatorium or whatever they called it, I think, which is over on the West Coast. So we got a lot of Florida Championship Wrestling, and of course that was part of the NWA. So yeah, we saw a lot of Pistol Pez Watley.
So if you want to see some of him, you can go on Peacock, and they have episodes of World Champion of, you know, the Jim Crockett World Championship Wrestling. Just go all through 1986. There's a lot of them there, and there's a lot of good stuff there. And so that's Pistol Pez Watley. And so he's the guy for this week.
Okay.
There you go.
So because we've already introduced it without introducing him, PC Tunney, fresh off a recording session with the boys on DWI. What did you guys get up to this week on the DWI?
It was just DP and I. AJ has he's out on assignment. He'll be back next week. We just ran down some stuff, trying not to get into the Elimination Chamber preview, you know, next week. You know, we'd like to kind of keep that as our nice and easy thing to do once a pay-per-view. We did discuss a little bit of maybe Paramore or LA Knight wanting Usher, but like, what other bands would you like to see go up there?
For WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, like, I feel like if Def Rebel would come out and do Roman Reigns song, that would be pretty cool. But then that would be the only one, in my opinion, that should have it on the show. Because I felt like, and I don't know how you guys think, like, why?
You can't do better than last year, unfortunately. Def Rebel themselves doing it still isn't cooler than the Baby Grand Pianos.
That was pretty cool. But I think, like, WrestleMania could take advantage of this like the Super Bowl does. And why not one or two every year? Because look at not only all the eyes that are in America or North America, right? But like a lot of these bands could be getting into cracks in the globe that they've never been to. WWE's everywhere but China, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So nothing major.
Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, one year the 14-time women's champion, they need to get Slash to play the guitar part of her entrance theme, because
that would be great.
Because she's a big Guns N' Roses fan, so at some point they should do that.
I mean, they have what's her name, Nina Strauss online too usually. So
yeah, they've had Nina Strauss. They've had Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm. Yep. They've had some major acts, you know, open up NXT shows, opened up Evolution. So they've got the contacts.
And I'm sure, look, at some point, Punk is going to get his boys to play him in. And they did it once already, but...
Not this year!
Well, no.
Jason!
Sore spot?
Right, I mean...
Have you listened to the intro to this show?
I just want everyone to know I prayed for this. Drew McIntyre
fan on the planet.
Drew McIntyre turned babyface with one line, and I'm just.
Let me tell you how significant that is in the history of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. You can go back 3 fucking years, and Jason is literally—he's just a dude with Drew McIntyre. He's just a dude. I see the vision, but he's just a dude. For 3 fucking years. 2 weeks ago, Jason became...
The last year, because let's be honest, during the pandemic, he was playing the Roman Reigns script from 2015 to 2016.
He was.
It was beat for beat, the same deal, and everyone was like, oh my god, this is the greatest thing ever. It's just like, fuck you guys.
So now he's the biggest mark for Drew McIntyre on the planet because he prayed for this.
Drew put Punk on the shelf.
God bless. But anyway, Tunney, we were talking about, and briefly, you can just give some thoughts if you have any, the Scott DeMori situation, because we missed out on it last week talking about the big press conference. I know you're not a big TNA person. I know you guys don't talk, it's taboo on the DWI. It is not taboo here.
It's not, actually. So I, instead of me giving my thoughts, when this happened, Andrew Blaz, who covers TNA, Mr. TNA.
He's right? Mr. TNA.
Him and I had done the final chair shot NFL for Super Bowl preview. And I said, dude, before you go, let me record some of your thoughts. So would you like to hear his take?
Sure.
It's two and a half minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, with us via satellite
is
Andrew Blaz.
DeMore's been there since the beginning. Team Canada, he was the coach. He was everything from an intermittent wrestler. He had the Quarter City Championship Wrestling, which was almost like a little farm thing for them. I hate the fact that he got fired because he came back in as president when the Anthem, you know, company took over, him and Callis. Callis screwed up. Callis fucked everything up, then went off to AEW, and we forget he existed for a little bit until he fucked everything up with the AEW thing. DeMore did everything he could to build the team back up, to build TNA back up, to build the company back up, to build the brand back up. Even brought back the old branding with TNA. Gave this huge emotional speech during the Bound for Glory when he said TNA was coming back. Then right after the Ospreay and Alexander match about TNA is never going to die, it's here to stay, which in retrospect kind of looked like he knew the writing was on the wall because he was a little more upset in his feelings than I guess one would anticipate, even though, you know, TNA is everything to him. So it came off as just fiery passion. But what are you going to do? Like, I don't get it. I hate everything about it because it just reeks of incompetence. It reeks of AOL Time Warner kind of bullshit where they overstep because they think they know better because they have their corporate fucking idiots and they have some. I mean, they tried to say like this dude's been in cable and broadcasting and channel management for 16 years. That's not a wrestling company. Like, ask Dixie Carter how different it is to run a company than it is to run a fucking wrestling organization. Ask cocaine fucking Tony Khan how fucking different it is between soccer, between fucking football, between wrestling, and between whatever the fucking else they got their fingers in. So it's I'm not looking forward to it. Is it probably going to suck? Yes. But only one way to fucking find out. And yeah, you're right. Ask Ted Turner. Ask Ted Turner how that fucking worked out for him, because yeah, I think we all know, but I'm not happy. I'm not happy that DeMore's gone. Fuck, I'm also not happy that Rossi's gone from Stardom. Like, this week has been shitty for people that built up a brand and people love that brand, and then they just decide to fire them because the ownership hierarchy fucking thinks they know better. So let's just watch it all burn to the fucking ground.
Well said.
What do you guys think? I already talked to him about it.
Excellent soundbite, man. I can't disagree with anything he said. And we kind of collectively, he encapsulated our thoughts.
Yeah. They were on an upward trajectory, and now they are going to they are going to be lucky if they maintain.
They'll stagnate at best.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they will be count themselves lucky to stagnate.
I think the biggest person to benefit out of all of this is Tony Khan in AEW, because with DeMore still there and in charge and having that growing momentum of storyline stability and probably getting momentum to being able to spend more money too. And soon, is just gone unless they pull some rabbit out of their ass that we don't know about. So that's really my opinion.
Tony, as we said a few minutes ago, all they needed was to land a better cable deal. Everything else was honestly in place, and we've said it repeatedly on the show. It bears repeating again. Pound for pound, or per capita, or whatever you want to call it, they have the best women's division, and the way they use said women's division in wrestling, like, because they use the way, I would say that they, the split is more towards the women on average on a TNA show than it is on any other show week to week. I would guarantee that.
The only thing that, the only like dots that haven't been conspiracy theory connected that I haven't heard of is, what if WWE doesn't want Damore to be there because they're about to embark on a partnership, so they wanted some kind of corporate structure like they have with TKO? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just trying to, like, think outside the box, right? Because
if WWE
just doesn't make fucking sense, he's gone, right?
Yeah.
If they that relationship continues, like Jordan Grace, you know, being in the Rumble, if that relationship were to continue, I would definitely say that that theory has some weight. However, I would say that's going to come to a grinding halt.
Well, there's also, I've seen it.
I think Scott was the, because Scott said, the Jordan Grace, we talked about this earlier. Jordan Grace said, Scott called her and said, hey, I need you to wrestle this weekend. Hey, guess what? It's in. Oh, you're in the Rumble, kid. Congratulations.
Well, I have heard it speculated that this may be part of an eventual Endeavor buyout of TNA/Impact. No clue whether or not there's any real substance behind that, but I have heard that kicked around, that's a possibility, that may be a, and again, this leans into what you were saying with WWE, if there's going to be a working relationship, maybe Scott DeMore was the road bump, I see him more as the bridge.
Well, again, that would be one of the few scenarios that actually sensibly explains why they didn't take Scott's offer.
Do you think the next piece of this puzzle, though, is where he ends up?
Yes.
Yes.
It doesn't seem likely, and he's going to do something. So what else is there? Like, is he going to MLW? Is he going to help Booker T out at his proof? What is he doing?
I don't know.
He's either going to Jacksonville or Stanford, man.
The next few months between WWE, the road to WrestleMania, what happens with TNA, we've got 2024 is going to be a wild year for pro wrestling, gentlemen. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens here. So,
Jeremy Borash was already in with WWE, and he was one of the guys that that helped with the broken Matt Hardy stuff. And
did you call him Borash?
Well, whatever. How do you say it? How do you say it?
Borash.
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 I'm sorry.
Yes. All right, why don't we call the go home there and get out of here for the night, because I'm tired. I got a busy day tomorrow. We've had a great show. We had a run in by PC Tunney. This has been fun. This has been fun, guys. Going to wrap back around the room here. Thanks, my co-host. I'm going to start with the man destined to go through a barbershop window because I didn't get to introduce him. Jason, sir, thank you.
Thank you, fellas, and thank you for indulging me. Usually, I'm on call all the time, and usually it's not that busy, but literally when we recorded, I looked at my phone and was like, shoot, I've got to call a couple of customers.
Ruh-roh.
Sorry about that.
And from the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, sir, fun show tonight, great insight.
Always a pleasure.
And fresh off the DWI podcast, which you can hear on the Chair Shot Radio Network on Fridays. This week it is PC Tunney and DPP breaking everything down. Tunney, sir, thanks for the run-in.
No, thank you for that amazing setup when I first came on the show. That was just brilliant. No, man, anytime I can stop by, and I see DJ all the time, but anytime I can stop by and see Jason and Rob, it's always a good thing. Keep up the great work, guys. Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms.
All right. And again, I'm the man with the award-winning Holy Beard, DJ. This has been the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Thank you guys for listening. This was episode 181. We've got 19 more episodes to 200. I'm going to work on planning something big for that episode, maybe get a few more guests, a few more run-ins. Thank some people who have helped make this podcast what it is. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want. But call it in the ring. And we're out of here till next week when we are talking Elimination Chamber.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.